This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. How's everybody feeling after all the green beer from last night? This is Bob Weeks in studio. Mark Sacchino is in Florida. And Marky, did you have any green beer last night?
I was so well behaved, Bob. Good morning, sir. I had two glasses of red wine at dinner, and that was it. Very tired, lugging that equipment around, you know.
Oh, come on. Give me that. You got to celebrate the Irish side of you, the Azuri Irish side.
I don't know where
that is. Well, it is the day after St. Paddy's Day, and there's a lot of fat heads out there, so everyone can lie on the couch and listen to our show here. And of course, it's also the middle of the first round of March Madness. Did you have a bracket?
I didn't get one in on time this year, which was a shame. I missed it.
You're really disappointing me this morning.
I know. I was talking to my colleagues here on PGA Tour Radio, and all of them, their brackets were imploding in front of their eyes apparently yesterday. That's all I know.
I thought I did pretty well. I got 86% out of the in the ESPN bracket, and I'm ranked 2.6 millionth. So that's not too good, I don't think. A lot of favorites won yesterday, and essentially, I think there's going to be some upsets coming up in the next round. Anyway, we are here to talk golf, and for the next 90 minutes, if you are in Toronto, 60 minutes if you are around the country, and Mark Sacchino, as I mentioned, is down at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he's working for PGA Tour Radio. I am stuck here in Toronto, having been down there earlier in the week, and it's still cold here, Mark, so don't race back. I know it was cold down there earlier in the week. Is it warmed up at all?
Yes, finally, Bob. Yesterday afternoon, it finally started to feel like Florida. The jackets and the sweaters came off, and we were just in golf shirts and pants. And today is going to be even warmer, be in the high 70s in terms of Fahrenheit today, and finally creep into the 80s tomorrow. So weather's been, although cold, as you know, since the tournament started, we haven't seen a cloud in the sky yet. So it's still brilliant sunshine. It's still great golf weather, going to get better every day, and still better than what I'm coming home to, correct?
Yeah, it's cool, and there was a little bit of snow in the forecast here. It's not golf weather here yet, in this part of the country anyway. I hope it is where you're listening to us from, perhaps on the West Coast a little bit better. But as I mentioned, we have a lot of stuff to get to, so let's start off right now with some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, we start off with a familiar name, Mr. Sacchino. It's Tiger Woods, and once again, he's leading the headlines here. There's a report that came out in Golf World that said that, there was a report on PGA Tour Radio or PGAtour.com from Brian Wacker that said he had multiple sources saying that Tiger was still not in any good shape to play. He had not practiced yet. He's getting treatments and progressing, but it looked like he was not going to make it into the Masters. His agent, Mark Steinberg, came out and disputed that. He said, "I have no idea who Mr. Wacker's really close sources are. I can tell you this. Nobody spoke to him, so how could he know something that Tiger and I don't? That's comical. I talked to Tiger for 4 hours on the phone. We're not in any situation to even talk about playing in the Masters right now. He's gotten treatments and is progressing and hoping he can do it. There's no doubt, no decision one way or the other." What do you make of this? This is like becoming a comedy act if they're just sort of saying, "I don't want to tell you anything."
Yeah, it's the same old, same old. I'm going to start referring to Tiger Bob as Bigfoot. They're like Bigfoot sightings, right? It's like someone reports that they've seen a Yeti walking across the street to a Max Milk picking up a carton of cigarettes. Like, it's unbelievable. There's so much. It's ridiculous. Just guessing, I guess, is what I'm looking for. They're just throwing darts. I don't know. I do know Brian. I don't know who he spoke to. I do know that Steve Stricker 2 weeks ago said that he was texting back and forth. It might even have been a week ago, texting back and forth with Tiger Woods. And Steve Stricker really didn't say much, but he said he didn't feel like very encouraged about what he heard or his conversation. So I don't know what to make of this, but why can't this just all go away with Tiger with some communication, Bob?
Or just give us a status update. Here's what Steinberg said. I don't want to talk about specifics yet. When we're ready to get into that, we'll disclose it. He's working hard at getting better. He's working hard at progressing. Why don't you just say he's hitting balls, he's not hitting balls, he's putting, he's chipping. I don't know what the big secret is here, why you can't tell anybody. It doesn't actually have to, you don't have to say whether you're going to the Masters or not. Just say whether you're hitting balls or where the status is or how you hurt your back or what's going on. I'm not really sure. Anyway, we might find out a little more on Monday because on Monday he's going to be in New York City signing copies of the book that he wrote along with our good friend Lauren Rubenstein. So maybe there'll be a little bit of an update at that point. Who knows? We have another withdrawal from the match play. Ricky Fowler has said he is not going to play, and he joins Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, Justin Rose, and I guess you could include Adam Hadwin in there as well. And he says the reason he's not going to play is because it would be four in a row for him, and he doesn't want to do that heading into Augusta. He will, however, play the Houston Open a week later. So quite a few of the guys sort of bailing out. It seems hard to believe. These are guaranteed purses. You can play as few as three rounds of golf and take a check and go home, but they still don't want to play.
This one's bizarre. Because they've changed the format. Remember a few years back, Bob, to go to the round robin within your group, so at least you get some rounds in, and you don't go one and done. I remember the days of one and done, and some of the guys would bail and say, hey, if I have a bad Wednesday, all of a sudden that's it, I'm going home. They thought that the format would fix that. And I guess to a large degree it did in previous years, although this year, like you mentioned, it's a large exodus due to the schedule change. Guys not wanting to play four in a row, some of them not even wanting to play three in a row. But boy, Houston is the big winner in this. Have you seen what the field's going to look like in Houston?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Again, luck of the draw this time around. I would be shocked, Bob, absolutely shocked that when next year's PGA Tour schedule comes out, that they haven't fixed all this. And we're not going, leaving the West Coast, going into Florida, then back into Mexico, and then back to Florida again. I think they're going to have this thing ironed out and figured out by next year.
It's tough to kind of move everything around so quickly and stuff, I know. And when they made that switch last year, moving that WGC to Mexico, it sort of put a wrinkle or a crimp in things. But I think the bigger issue to me is that you got two World Golf Championship events really fairly close together, and those are supposed to be big events, supposed to be sort of one tier under the major championships. And if you could spread those out somehow, I think you'd have a much better field at all of them. And it seems weird to me that you have one of these great big events and you got, the gold and silver medal winner from the Olympics not playing, and Masters champion not playing, and now one of the high marquee players in Ricky Fowler not playing. But it just goes to show you that there's just, in my opinion overall, there's just probably too many tournaments.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And you're right on the WGC as well, Bob. Like, why do we wait all the way till March to really see a WGC event, and then we see two of them? Why not, especially if it's going to be in Mexico City, where the weather's conducive to playing golf 12 months a year. Why aren't we, maybe end of January, first week of February, playing that golf event?
I think everybody would be perfect if you sort of did the West Coast swing, then you went to Mexico, then you came into Florida. But, of course, smarter people than us are making those decisions. Speaking of smart people, the members of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers at Muirfield have voted to let women in. Hey, guys, welcome to the 1970s. It's great to see them coming into their own, finally passing this, and now they are back in the open rota. I don't think this is a big surprise, but it took them 273 years to let a woman member come in. What do you think of that?
This is why they had the second vote. They thought the people who wanted it thought they could get it through on the second vote. It's just a shame what the motive is here. I think, Bob, like, this is just a group of membership saying we can't lose the open rotation. We need to be as part of that open circuit. And the only way we're going to do it is if we can, jam this vote through. So they got it through. And it's just so backwards. I don't know. How do you feel?
Well, it's unusual that they had to go to this second vote, but obviously money speaks, and I think that's the biggest concern here for the club, is that they realize if they don't have the Open Championship, then there's some good money to be made on that. So they needed that. The interesting part of this to me is that you still might not see a woman member at this course for 2 to 3 years, because while they have agreed to allow women to come in, they are not going to fast track any women. So you're going to go through the regular process, and there's a 2 to 3 year waiting list. So you might get a woman member just in time for the next time the Open comes around. This course, it's interesting that a lot of the players aren't big fans of Muirfield to begin with. Some are, but not all of them. And so I think this was one of those concerns where the members sort of said, "Hey, you know what? We better keep ourselves in here because it's very easy for them to kick us out."
You know, I feel for the first lady that gets in there, and I hope she gets to go in with another woman at the same time, because what an awkward whore. Like, it's just, she's got to be tougher than nails to probably deal with some of the things that she's going to deal with 2-3 years down the road as the first female member in that club. It's just not going to be the first month of golf, put it this way, probably not going to be the happiest month of golf in her life, yes. Which is just a shame. Just because there's still that percent of that membership that's, doing this begrudgingly, right?
Yeah, it passed with 80% of the vote. Last time it was 60. They needed two-thirds, so they got them more than two-thirds. But you wonder, as you say, how many of those 80% are actually just voting because they want the Open Championship. Speaking of women golfers, how about Michelle Wee? She is coming back in style a little bit after a really horrible last couple of years. She hasn't won since 2014 at the U.S. Open. She was fourth last week at Singapore. She's one shot back as we go into the third round of the LPGA Founders in Arizona. And I wonder if this time Michelle Wee is going to turn out to be the player that perhaps we thought she might be when she was starting out her career.
She's going to be a great comeback story, that's for sure, Bob. I know she was putting conventional last week. I haven't seen her this week. I'm wondering where this is coming from. Have you heard any statements from her or any comments from her on why all of a sudden she has found something? Is she made a major change? Is she working with somebody different? Or is this just things lining up for her?
Yeah, no, she's just still working with David Ledbetter, and they have decided to – she basically gave up on her putting style at one of the first events this year. She said, okay, I got to quit this tabletop thing where she was bent over at a 90-degree angle. She's actually kind of altered it a couple of times since last week and this week. She's kept her stance the same, but she's gone left-hand low and then back to conventional and back to left-hand low. And she's putting great. She really has some good putting stats over the last couple of rounds. And it's not bad to see her. She looks normal when she's putting. But I think the biggest thing for her right now is that she's actually healthy. She's had a lot of back issues, a lot of back problems that she hasn't really let on about, not quite like Tiger, but just ailments that have not allowed her to kind of compete at the level she wants. She's working hard with David Ledbetter, she says, and so far it's paying off, and maybe we'll get to see her win since the first time since that 2014 U.S. Open.
It would be a great story. You know, I always feel for Michelle Wee because I look at her as the prime example as to what not to do with a prodigy child, with all that talent at a young age. They almost made every mistake you could possibly make in the book. And I feel for her because I feel she had the wrong guidance. I'm sure they, at the time, her team thought they were doing the right thing, but they took her out of an environment, put her with the men, didn't give her an environment to succeed. You know, I'm a big fan of winning breeds winning. And, Tiger won at every level, junior, college, and then eventually by the time he got to the pros, he expected to win, and Michelle Wee never got to go through that process. I think a lot of that was taken from her, so it would be great to see a comeback from her later in her career. I think it'd be very popular.
Despite all her troubles, she is still one of the highest profile women on the LPGA Tour. All right, when we come back after this break, we are going to catch up with our good pal Adam Hadwin, who in between our last show and this week has won a tournament. And we're going to hear from him kind of about 48 hours after his victory and find out how it went from the time that he tapped in until the time that he got the Arnold Palmer Invitational. That's coming up when we return to Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Weeks in studio in Toronto, Zucchino on the grounds of Bay Hill at Arnold Palmer Invitational. And Mark, you're going to have to race back here after that tournament. You know why?
What is going on?
Golf Talk Canada television starts this week. We have to record it, so you got to get back here for the taping.
That's right. I forgot. We return. Was it Wednesday, 1 o'clock, TSN 4 is the debut.
That's exactly right. We can. We will be going for the next 363 weeks in a row without taking a week off. I think that's right, isn't it? Something like that. But no, it's great to be back on television to accompany our radio show here, which, of course, never goes away. We're here pretty much 12 months of the year. Which is great. We got lots of fans. We got lots of people who want to talk golf, and we're doing that. One guy we talked to this week, and I know you've talked to him. We're going to hear from your interview with him after his round the other day. I had a chance to chat with him on Tuesday at Bay Hill when I was down there. Is our latest Canadian winner on the PGA Tour, and this is just a great story of Adam Hadwin's win, isn't it?
It's fantastic, and you know, we've all seen this coming, right, Bob? Like, you and I have both said we're surprised that he... You know, about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, we're surprised he hasn't won yet. And then the 59 occurred earlier in the year, which did not translate into a victory, but I'm sure translated into a ton of confidence. And then, of course, the hiccup at 16 last week at the Snake Pit, which is a hole that could bite anybody. What a brutally difficult driving hole that is, that par four at the Copperhead course at Innisbrook. But it's the way he came back from that double bogey that was so impressive, especially the tee ball on 18. That is not an easy driving hole, and man, did he just get up and just strike that and flush the second one too. I think a little nervous energy on that second shot made that ball fly a little further, that iron into the green, maybe an extra 5 yards because of that pumped up energy, but what a way to bounce back from that. And, I enjoyed your interview very much with him.
Well, let's hear from Adam Hadwin. This is 48 hours after winning at Valspar. All right, Adam Hadwin, it's been 48 hours since the victory. How does it feel, and has it sunk in yet, and how did you celebrate?
I don't think it's quite sunk in yet. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, kind of where I'm at and what I'm doing and what I need to focus on right now. You know, obviously there's a lot that comes with the win, you know, getting to go to Augusta in a few weeks, but I got to get married before that and cancel honeymoon plans, and you know, I still got to get ready for Bay Hill this week as well. So I think the mind's still kind of racing a little bit. So hopefully once Thursday comes and we actually start to play golf, I'll be able to settle back down and get back into that rhythm.
I heard you had quite the celebratory dinner afterwards.
Yeah, we went out. Jess and I hopped in the car after all the media stuff on Sunday night, and we started driving, and we pulled over to this great establishment. I don't know if you've heard it, but McDonald's. You know, so we pulled over there and grabbed a Big Mac and some nuggets, and you know, we were both starving at that point. So, you know, just some road food.
Who's the most important and most impressive person that you've heard from in terms of your congratulations that you got?
I mean, obviously getting a shout out on Twitter from the Prime Minister is pretty special. That doesn't happen very often, and pretty cool. I mean, he's got a few things going on in his life right now running the country, so for him to reach out, it's pretty cool. Other than that, I heard from Wayne Gretzky. I got a text from Jonathan Toews, Joe Thornton, guys that I've met in the past and maybe stayed in touch with just a little bit, but you know, we get such great support from all across the country, so it's pretty neat.
You obviously get into the Masters with this. Have you managed to secure a tee time there for a practice round ahead of the tournament?
Not yet. You know, that's one thing that, you know, my mind's been on a little bit, but at the same time, like I said, I'm trying to get focused for Bay Hill, so I'm not sure how far to let it drift and go in there, but we're trying to rearrange schedules, and I got to talk to the wife to see if I can get any days off next week.
And so it begins. Yeah. Last question, did you get your deposit back yet for your honeymoon?
Nothing official yet. We've been talking to the resort, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not expecting anything. I understand, you know, a resort that far away has policies and everything to stick with, so we'll see, and hopefully they can work with us.
All right, good luck this week.
Thank you, Bob.
And there is Adam Hadwin. That was just after he played his practice round on Tuesday. We're actually going to hear from him in the next segment as well with Mark after, what was his first round, Mark, or second round?
No, after his second round, Bob, he's shot two back-to-back rounds of two under par, so he's four under. So, you know, there's been so many ups and downs this week at Bay Hill. Four under, he's still very much a part of this week's tournament, so I followed him for a few holes yesterday in the second round, his last six holes for the play-by-play. So afterwards, I had an opportunity to talk to him, just see where his head was at, to see, you know, how he feels about going back-to-back. Because, man, what a story that would be.
I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy week for him. I followed him around a little bit, had a chat with him, and he was doing so much media. Everyone wanted a piece of him. Just even other players and caddies coming up to him and saying hello and how he's doing. He's actually going to be doing the opening tonight for Hockey Night in Canada. The Hockey Night in Canada people came over. I know that's not on our network, but they came over, and you're going to see Adam Hadwin doing a little intro for Hockey Night in Canada. So it's been definitely been a busy time for him. So we'll hear from Adam Hadwin in the next segment, along with Matthew Fitzpatrick, Lucas Glover, Francesco Molinari, all sorts of Mark's friends who he had some time to spend with down at Arnold Palmer. That's coming up when Golf Talk Canada continues.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Weeks in studio, Zucchino at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he's continuing to do his work for PGA Tour Radio. And Charlie Hoffman has a one-shot lead at the moment over Emiliano Grillo. And Mark has had a chance to chat with a number of the players throughout the last couple of days. And we were going to start off with Adam Hadwin. And Mark, you were saying before the commercial break how confident he looks with his game right now.
Yeah, he just looks like he's in control. I'm surprised, Bob, after the week he's had and the week he had last week that you outlined, that he's actually in this golf tournament. It's a lot on players. That's, you know, a life-changing moment for them, grabbing that first victory. And I've just seen it with my own eyes. I didn't get to see the media requests and whatnot that you were referring to, but I've seen a difference in the fan interest of people asking for his autograph and photos and things of that nature. And that just changed overnight for him, as opposed to, you know, just the Canadians.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he was in the marquee group with Graham McDowell and Ricky Fowler for the first two rounds, and he'll go out in a late tee time today. Let's hear from Mark and Adam Hadwin.
Adam, 12 of 14 fairways yesterday, 12 of 14 again today. Has that been the key, just playing from the short grass?
No, absolutely. You know, the rough's up this week, and you know, I've given myself plenty of opportunities. I did the same thing last week, doing it again this week. Real solid golf, tee to green, lots of opportunities. Hopefully find the speed of the greens a little bit better on this weekend and maybe make a couple more putts, but it's nice that I'm not relying on my putter to stay in tournaments.
Now, you're coming off a big week, obviously, last week. I told a little story on the air. You spoke to my co-host in Canada, Bob Weeks, on Golf Talk. You told him that he ate Big Mac and nuggets on the way home last week. If you win back-to-back weeks here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, I think Big Mac sales are going to go through the roof north of the border.
Oh, yeah. Big Mac and nuggets again. I mean, if I can pull off two in a row, you got to stick with it, right?
We're asking the players this week to share a story or a memory or even just a lasting image of Arnold Palmer. As Canadians, I know we always think of, I know neither one of us were alive, but we think of 1955. Weston, Canadian Open, his first victory. Do you have a story or a memory you'd like to share with us, or even just an image of as a kid following golf?
Yeah, I really do wish that I had some better stories or anything. Unfortunately, I've only been out here for a few years and met it a few times, but, you know, his health had deteriorated. And, you know, I think the lasting image for me of Arnold will just be how he was with everybody, how he was with the fans, the volunteers, everybody that he came across. He just seemed like a, you know, kind of that upstanding gentleman that treated everybody with respect and gave everybody the time of day.
And there is Adam Hadwin, 70-70. He goes off at 1:15 today alongside Tony Finau. Mark, you also had a chance to chat with Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's sitting right now in third place at 8 under par. And I don't know about you, but if he was to walk into a bar and I was serving him, I would definitely ask him for ID because he looks like he's about 16 years old. He's about 130 pounds soaking wet. And yet here he is right up near the top and in competition and having a really good year.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%, Bob. He looks like just a kid. It's unbelievable. And, you know, but at the end of the day, too, he's having a great year. But this week, you mentioned, you know, he's not happy with his ball striking, but he's still in this golf tournament. I'm always impressed by young players that can do that because a lot of these guys, you know, they need their A game to win out here and compete out here. And Matthew is just hitting it all over the ballpark, but right there in this golf tournament.
All right, here is Mark and Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Matthew, great round of golf. Let's start with the bounce backs. A couple of great birdies on 16 and 17 and get this in the clubhouse. Another wonderful round.
Yeah, it was a good day. Didn't quite feel as in control as a golf ball as I did yesterday, but no, like you say, made some good putts coming in and managed to steal a few birdies.
Was the key today getting up and down? Because when you did miss, you were 7 of 8 for scrambling. So when you made mistakes, you didn't really get too penalized from them. Was the short game on check today?
Yeah, definitely. The bad short game shots were to, you know, 7 or 8 feet, and the good ones were stiff. So I think that's really important, and managed to hole a few of those 7-8 footers for par and a couple for birdie as well. So it's been a good day.
Hey, you're just a young man, but Arnold Palmer's a global golf icon, and we're asking players to just share an image or a memory. Did you have any encounters with him? Or when you think of Arnold Palmer, what do you think of? I remember his final shot with the driver into the 18th green off the deck here. Do you have anything like that off the top of your head?
No, unfortunately not. I think, you know, a little bit before my time, but, you know, coming over here, you learn quickly what he's done for the game of golf, and I think for me, I was lucky enough to meet him a couple of times. Went up to his office when I played as an amateur here in 14, and then saw him again here last year. So, you know, special encounters like that are always amazing, and they'll stay with me forever.
And there is Matthew Fitzpatrick, and he's not exactly Mr. Excitement, is he?
No, I was expecting more out of him, really, but no, but maybe that's what you got to be to be good at this game sometimes too, right, Bob? Just kind of go through the process, not very high, not very low, add them up at the end.
That probably explains a lot about our games.
Exactly.
Another guy you had a chance to chat with is one of my favorite guys to talk to on the PGA Tour. I had a chance to work on a couple of the old TSN Skins games with Lucas Glover, and it's just really nice to see him back playing some really good golf. He hasn't won since 2011. Here is Mark and Lucas Glover.
Lucas, another great day, 69. Before we get into the ball striking, which has been great, there's also been some beautiful up and downs, 6, 7. Was scrambling a key today?
Yeah. First 8 holes were pretty flawless, and starting on 18, I had to scramble a little bit. Got up down on 18-1. And missed a couple on 2 and 4, but missed some opportunities on the front, but pleased with where I stand after 2 days, and pleased with my putting, pleased with my ball striking. Got to take advantage of the par fives a little bit more. I was in good shape on most of them yesterday and today. So afternoon off, hanging with the kids, and refocus in the morning.
My colleague this week, Mark Immelman, suggested this is a second shot golf course. Your iron play has been beautiful for the first 2 days. Would you agree, second shot golf course? And if so, you've got to be happy that the irons are on cue.
Yeah. I mean, second shot course if you get in the fairway, right? You know, there's room out here, but you got to get it in them. The rough's pretty brutal. I had to lay up a couple times, 18-1, but I was fortunate to get those up and down. But if you're ironing it good and you're in the fairway a good bit, you're going to have some opportunities. The greens are so good, conditions are so perfect. So there's birdies to be had, but you got to be in the right position.
Lucas, before we let you go, we were asking players this week to share a story, a memory, or even just a lasting image of Mr. Palmer. Does anything come to mind, especially this week after walking these fairways for 36 holes?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate and honored that Mr. Palmer even knew my name, because I didn't play in his generation, and but every time I came here, he knew my name and was respectful to me, and I returned that favor. And all of us out here owe a lot to that man, and I'm honored to be here this week, and every week we get to come here.
There's Lucas Glover, who has rounds of 68 and 69. One of the few players out there who doesn't wear a glove when he plays. But I love the way Lucas Glover swings the golf club. I'm surprised he hasn't played as well, as much better than he has. I know he's had some injury problems, but he hasn't won since 2011. Do you like his game, Mark?
Yeah, I do like his game, and his iron play this week has just been so beautiful to watch, Bob. I mean, like, he is just flagging it almost every time he puts the ball in the fairway. And like you heard him say there, you know, if he can get it in the fairway, that was the Achilles heel yesterday. He likes his own chances because his iron play is so solid.
It is all about getting it in the fairway. Another guy who got it in the fairway is one of your boys, one of the Azzurri, Francesco Molinari. He has a 70-68. I don't know what that is in Italian, but he's playing some good golf, and you had a chance to chat with him. Let's hear that conversation.
Francesco, great round of golf, bogey free. That has to be a good day out there for you at Bay Hill Club and Lodge.
Yeah, it was a good day. Like yesterday, obviously, a lot warmer today, so it was nicer to be out there. But yeah, just a good solid round for me. Shame that I didn't birdie any of the par fives. I should have done better, but still a very good round.
Overall, first day, solid ball striking, keep it in the fairway and hitting the greens. You do the same thing today, and you're fairly close in proximity to the hole as well. Has the iron play been the strength so far this week?
Yeah, definitely. I think everything has been in good shape. Putting, you know, for my standards has been good. Obviously, the shots to the green are usually my strength, so it's been going well so far this week. I just need to keep going and keep doing the same.
So anything to change for the weekend, or is there anything you'll work on in the morning before you go out for the third round?
No. I've hit a couple of three woods today that weren't very good, and I've got another three wood in the locker, which I've used for more time. So I'm just thinking about switching back to the all three wood just because I feel a bit more comfortable.
There's Francesco Molinari, a couple of solid rounds out there. Of the guys you talk to, Mark, do you get a sense that one of them is a little bit more comfortable with where he is in the field right now?
You know, surprisingly, it's Lucas Glover, I think, Bob, even though it's been a while. I think Matthew Fitzpatrick he's not happy with his ball striking. He is hanging around. If he can somehow fix that, I think he'll be fine. But I think he's a little disheveled at the moment with the way he's hitting it. You know, Molinari's a good ways back, as is Adam Hadwin, although I think Adam's very comfortable where he is. I think he'd like to be a few deeper, going to start the day six back. So he needs a super low day, or he needs that lead to pull back a little, even though there's 36 holes to go. There's a lot of work, but he's still part of the golf tour. And I think, you know, Lucas Glover just kind of hanging there in the second to last group. He's hitting it as good or better than anybody out there. It would not surprise me if he found himself in the final group tomorrow.
That'd be real good. Yeah, interesting to note that Hadwin's strength this last week and really the last year and a half has been his putting, and he's not really all putting all that well. He's 56 in strokes gained putting, just barely kind of ahead of the curve. Actually, he's not. Over two rounds, he's minus 0.133, and that's usually where he picks up some strokes. So imagine if that could get a little bit better for him in the last couple of rounds, he might be able to move up and make up some ground.
Yeah, if the putter gets going, look out, and we know he likes to go low on Saturdays. So you never know. You never know. Maybe he's got another special one in the can today for us here at Bay Hill.
Maybe he has Big Macs on Saturday nights. Maybe that's why he goes low.
That could
be the reason. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from another Canadian who didn't make the cut but has generally been playing pretty well so far this season, and we'll talk about some of the other Canadians who are here. Just out of note, Adam Hadwin made the cut, and also David Hearn did. But we're going to hear from Graeme Dillette and catch up with him about hear about his season so far and what he thinks is the key to his fast start so far this season. Well, that's when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada. Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Bob Weeks here in studio. Mark Zucchino on the grounds of Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, getting ready for the third round. And Mark, what's your schedule looking like for today? Who are you going to follow to start with?
Yeah, I am with the penultimate group of Lucas Glover and Matthew Fitzpatrick. So I have that second to last group today. So I expect to be with them for the majority of the broadcast, assuming at least one of them is playing well, but hope to see both of them play well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, one guy who didn't have such a great week is Graeme Dallette. He has had a pretty good start to the season, though. Tied for 8th in the Sanderson's Farms, tied for 9th at Phoenix, 17th at L.A., 10th at Honda. Last week he was tied for 22nd. And the one thing that's been going well for him is something that doesn't usually go all that well for him. And I had a chance to catch up with him this week a little bit earlier before the first round at Arnold Palmer. Here's my chat with Graeme Dallette. Graeme, it's been a pretty good start for you for this season. How do you feel? I know you're healthy and you're rolling the putter well, and those are two pretty good signs for Graeme Dallette.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is, like, as far as my health goes, it's probably the best I've felt since maybe 2013-14 when I was playing some really good golf. And the putter's been working nicely this year, which is, it just takes a lot of pressure off the rest of your game. I've been driving it well, and, you know, my game feels pretty good. I feel like I'm just playing really, really solid, but I haven't, really just got it really going yet, but it's been a nice month and a half stretch.
Has there been any key to or any reason why you're putting so much better? You've just been spending a lot more time working on that part of your game?
No, I started using a new Peter Koss is a member out at Whisper Rock, and he gave me one of his putting trainers called the Putting Professor. I've been using that for about 6 months, and almost immediately, probably about a month after, I started noticing I was stroking the ball a lot better, hitting it a lot more solid. Then my speed was a lot better on long putts because I was hitting the ball more solid, and I got some confidence with the putter for the first time maybe ever. So no, but that's always been like the downfall of my game. There's no question. It wasn't from lack of effort, but I feel like I'm on the right path right now.
It's always a struggle when you try to find and shore up that one weak part of your game. But when you do that, as you said, it takes so much pressure off the rest of your game. How do you feel about the entire part of everything from tee to green now?
Yeah, I think it's solid. I mean, it's I think it's going to be a test here this week, that's for sure. I mean, keeping the ball in the fairway is going to be the biggest thing. I've been driving it really nicely, and it's just going to be kind of a bit of a grind with the weather that we have. And I think it's supposed to be windy and cool, and I think it's going to be kind of one of those like only the strong survive type things. So hopefully I can gut it out and be a Canadian and embrace this weather.
Last week we saw Canadians, we saw one win with Adam Haddon. We had Mac Hughes a little earlier. Does it give you guys a little more incentive? I know you guys are a team out here. Does it give you a little more incentive to try and watch these guys and cheer for them and get yourself in higher positions?
Well, it's obviously great to see. I mean, it's great for golf in our country no matter what. Haven't seen those guys win, and especially the young guys. And I think it's, all the younger kids. I'm kind of almost the old boy on the block now. So I think the younger kids are looking up to guys like Mac and Adam as much as they are, maybe more than me now. So I think it's great. I mean, obviously, I want to get in that winner's circle as well. But, I don't think there's any extra incentive seeing Adam win. But, I guess it just kind of lets you know that it's there and it's possible for us. And every week that's all you try to do. You want to finish in that winner's circle. We're playing a practice round on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. You get to that 18th green, you kind of picture yourself holding the trophy there, and unfortunately I haven't done it yet, but I feel like it's only a matter of time.
You played in your first Masters a couple of years ago. Those two guys are going for their first time this year. What piece of advice, if they were to ask you what they should think about or concentrate on most, what piece of advice would you give them?
I don't know. I mean, enjoy the experience, obviously. I think they're both playing well enough that they can be in contention. And, I think the one thing that when I went, I was so amazed by the whole situation that I wasn't really playing golf. And, I was 6 or 7 over through 8 holes. And that's when I kind of realized, I just got a need to relax and just try to play golf. That's what got me here in the first place. And I played okay the rest of the way. I was even par in my last 27 holes or whatever it was. But I just kind of got so far behind the 8 ball early. So I think that's the main thing, is enjoy it. But once you tee it up on Thursday, know that, it's just another golf tournament. And, they're there for a reason.
Right. Good luck this week, Graeme.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
And there is Graeme Dallette, who unfortunately missed the cut here this week. And Mark, I don't know if it's fair to say we're surprised that he hasn't won, because winning on the PGA Tour is tough. But he is certainly one of the best players who has yet to win on the PGA Tour. Would you agree?
Yeah, obviously some injuries and some issues in the last year or so. But man, you go back to, I think, was it 2015, the President's Cup at Murfield Village, and he was clearly, with Jason Day, the two best players on that team. And that's saying something. That was a star-studded international team that had, you know, Adam Scott on it and so many great talents. And him and Jason Day dominated that event from the international side. He led the PGA Tour in ball striking categories on multiple occasions. So, you know, yeah, I am surprised. You know as well as I have, there's been some injury issues and some freak ones as well. And then, of course, the yips that he went through last year, which I thought he handled with so much class and dignity and so transparent. Maybe Bigfoot could take a note from from Graham Dillette on how to handle those types of things. So I hope it happens soon for him, though, Bob, as well as David. You know, David worked so hard, and he's lost a few in playoffs, and those sting, and I really hope David gets his win soon, too.
I think you're right. I think the two of them together are certainly capable. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just, as Adam kind of proved, the right stuff has to come together at the right time, and you kind of have to get everything kind of going at it. All right, we're going to say goodbye to the national audience. For those of you in Hamilton and in Toronto, you can stick around for another 30 minutes. And, of course, we'll be back after this with our traditional, our March Madness post-hangover St. Paddy's Day version of Winners, Weird, and What. That's coming up next on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Hope if you were celebrating St. Paddy's Day yesterday that it was green going down and not necessarily green coming back up. Mark, you are in Bay Hill. You're at Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And because you're on the road, we thought it would be very nice for this segment, our favorite segment, Winners, Weird, and What, if you would have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, Bob, last week, I was quite harsh on some of the players that have missed the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, thinking that, you know, they owed a lot to Arnie, and they should have been here. Too many big names skipped this week's event. Now, that being said, my winner this week are the players that are attending and this tournament in general. It has been a pretty great celebration of Arnold Palmer and his legacy and his life. The umbrellas are out in full bloom. Everywhere you look, there's something that reminds you of Arnie. There was a great opening ceremonies that included 70 players that participated in a tee off on the range that looked like synchronized swimming, the way they did it, just one player hitting driver after another as a salute to Arnold Palmer. They've unveiled a 13-foot statue this week behind the first tee. There's been tours of his office that has been left as is. Of course, that's the famous office where all the paraphernalia and the letters were written, etc. It's been a nice celebration. And I think they've done a great job, and it's great that these players came and took it serious and wanted to be here. So they're my winners this week, and this golf tournament is my winner this week. My weird, did you see Cody Gribble on the sixth hole?
What a lunatic. That's all I can tell you.
So, like, there's a gator out there by number six, which is the largest pond, I guess, for lack of a better term. It looks way bigger than a pond to me. I don't even know what you call it. But it's quite a large pond that goes around that horseshoe par five. The sixth hole here is one of the more famous par fives here on the property, and there's been quite a large gator. It's got to be a good I don't know, 6-7 feet. Maybe it's longer from the tip of the tail to the nose, but it's substantial. It's nothing I would ever think of anywhere going near, and I've seen them all week. Well, Cody Gribble, the day before, in the opening round, he went over Bob with his bare hand. And if you haven't seen this, folks, go out there, Google it, go to PGAtour.com, go to Twitter, just it's everywhere. Cody Gribble, and just put in Alligator Bay Hill. He goes over with his bare hand and smacks it and pushes it or shuts it off into the water. He could have lost an arm, Bob.
I think it was. I was just expecting the next episode who was it? Adam Sandler
Happy Gilmore.
Thank you, Happy Gilmore. Right, there was going to be again, but that was, and then of course Smiley Kaufman the next day. Same thing, but he did what I would do. He walks down, sees the gator, and sort of surprised by it, and freaks out and runs away from it. That's what I would have done. Not what Cody Gribble did.
Totally classic. Smiley's reaction, just bolting right in the other direction. Absolute beautiful. And the thing about Cody Gribble was, he won earlier this year, but I still was unfamiliar with who he is and his game. And I was like, where's he from? And it's like, is he from gator country? He's from Texas. He should not be that comfortable around a gator in a swamp. He went to school in Texas. So I don't know what his excuse is.
Maybe he just doesn't know any better. He just doesn't know any better.
Yeah. And my what this week is what a shame that Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson, does not get to play the weekend. He missed the cut by one shot here. He's had a pretty solid, decent year so far for Sam Saunders. He played great out in L.A. when I was at the Genesis. And he's done a great job this week of an ambassador for this golf tournament and his family. He's had a lot of pressure on him this week, dealing with things that normally Sam Saunders would not deal with. So much media attention, opening ceremonies, press conferences, playing in marquee groups with huge players. He's played alongside Rory McIlroy. So, he dealt with a lot this week, missed the cut by one shot. It's a shame because it would have been awesome for him to get what probably would have been a monster ovation coming up that 18th hole on Sunday. But regardless, what a great gentleman and a great guy this week to hold up the tradition the way he did, Bob.
Yeah, I think we talked earlier about Adam Hadwin having all the duties that he did after winning. I think Sam Saunders had equal, if not more, responsibilities after, during, before, and after his play for the last two rounds. So good on him for even being here and doing what he did. All right, I guess I have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, my winner this week is Rory McIlroy, and I'm giving it to him because I love his comments about Muirfield and the vote that finally allowed women in. His quote that I love this part of it. I mean, in this day and age, when you've got women who are like the leaders of certain industries and women that are heads of state and not able to join a golf course, I mean, it's obscene. Like, it's ridiculous. So they sort of saw their sense. I still think that it got to the stage that it's horrendous. And yeah, I mean, when we go back and we'll play the Open Championship because they will let women members in. But every time I go to Muirfield now, I won't have a great taste in my mouth. And I have to agree with him, and I'm glad that he spoke out in this day and age about what's going on here. And I don't care if you have a private club, that if you want to have just a men's only club or just a women's only club, that's your right, but don't expect to hold a Open Championship or any kind of a championship in that. Do you agree with that one, Mark?
Oh, 100%, and I'm a huge Rory fan, as you know. I love his transparency. This is the complete opposite of Tiger Woods, right? This is a guy who has been number one in the world, will be number one in the world again eventually at some point. He's still a young guy, tons of golf ahead of him, such a brilliant talent. But off the cuff, right, Bob? Shares his opinions, tells you what he thinks. I know sometimes that gets him in trouble and sometimes it rubs people the wrong way, but if you want athletes to be transparent and be honest and true, you're going to have to deal with some of the times that maybe you don't agree with them. But I love this, and I love the transparency of it with Rory.
Exactly. All right. My weird this week is what's going on in PGA Tour Latino America. The event this week is in Antigua, Guatemala. and they're playing the Guatemala Stella Artois Open, which is a nice golf tournament. I think I'd like to play in that because I'm a Stella Artois man myself. But the driving range, if you look out at the end of the driving range, there is a volcano erupting. The volcano is called the Fuego Volcano, and it's spewing ash all over the golf course and all over the players, and they're still playing the golf tournament. It's actually a little bit further away than it looks, but if you go on to anywhere on Twitter and stuff, you can see guys hitting balls and this eruption going on in the background, which is a rather unusual thing. I've seen a lot of different things in golf tournaments and a lot of different weather conditions and natural elements and stuff, but I've never seen a volcano exploding while we're having the golf tournament. Go ahead.
That there has never been a lava delay on any tour.
That's right. Exactly. My what this week, I actually have two quick whats. I'm going to give you a what, but Julie Inkster, to me, she's 56 years old, and she opened the LPGA Founders Tournament this week with a 65. Now, that is a pretty remarkable score to me. She followed it up with a 73. She's the Solheim Cup captain, but at 56, she was one shot off the lead after the first round of the LPGA tournament. I think that's remarkable when you consider that she won her first first LPGA Tour event 2 years before Stacey Lewis was even born. So that shows you how just how good she is. The other one, it goes back to your tournament that back there. We'll bring it full circle. I was interested when I was down there. They were selling, of course, the Arnold Palmer drink, which is the iced tea and lemonade. Do you know that there are 1 million cans of the Arnold Palmer drink sold and consumed every single day around the world? How about that?
That's incredible.
Have you had one yet?
No, I've had several since we've been down here. Yeah, tons. And I've always liked the Arnold Palmer. I love it. It's great, but that's amazing.
A million
a day. That's incredible. Wow.
Unbelievable. And, you know, Arnie wasn't having any tightness. You talked about his office earlier, about how they went up into the office and everything, and he did a lot of work in that office. You know what his net worth is at the time of his death?
I have no idea.
$700 million. He made $40 million the last year he was alive.
That's incredible. You know a number, Bob, that I heard the other day for the first time? We were talking about, you know, a longevity of a career and what players made off the golf course because of Arnie and obviously Mark McCumber and the whole creation of IMG and turning an athlete into a brand, etc. For 30 years in a row, he was the highest endorsing athlete on the planet for 30 years in a row. And we talk about Tiger and, you know, his dominant run of probably a decade where he was the highest paid athlete in the world and maybe the first billion-dollar man, so to speak. And you know, he did that for 10 years. Arnie, three times, 30 years in a row as the number one paid athlete in the world. It's just incredible.
That's okay. Do you know, interesting stuff, he at one point was the largest Cadillac dealer in the United States. He owned enough more dealerships than anyone else. He owned sold more Cadillacs than anyone else. And in Asia right now, you can go over to some countries throughout Asia, Japan notably, they still have Arnold Palmer stores, men's clothing stores, and all they have is that umbrella, his logo on the outside, and they still sell a ton of his stuff out there. I mean, he may be gone, but his legacy is living on, as you found out when you talked to a lot of players this week as well. But boy, what a extension to his career that this guy had.
Yeah, I pray to God, Bob, and I really hope that these players who are ambassadors for this event and the PGA Tour do everything in their power to keep the importance of this event and the relevance of this event going and the field strong and make sure it has a spot on the calendar where it's going to be successful, because without Arnie, none of these guys, including the tour, have anything.
No, you're right. Exactly right. All right. We've got one more segment to follow up, and we're going to go around and look at a lot of the tours, not just the Arnold Palmer Invitational. There's a lot of golf going on around the world. We'll catch up with that and a little bit of a time with our producer, Adam Scully, on Scully Time when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, joined in studio now by producer Adam Scully, and it's time for leaderboards, and the leaderboards update is brought to you by Cedar Bay Golf Club, now offering $2,500 off your initiation. That means it's only $7,500 for a limited time with 0% finance options. That is a pretty good deal, and Cedar Bay is a pretty good golf course. All right, Mr. Scully, you are here, and we are talking. We were going to get into the leaderboard here in just a second, but we talked. Mark talked about his alligators in the Winter's Weird and What section there, and you had a run in with an alligator. You've seen alligators on the golf course.
I've seen many alligators in Florida on the course. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, we have some tape of you talking about your experience with the alligator.
Hell no! Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
That was the scariest moment of my life.
Mark, do you still have both your hands and legs?
Oh, my Lord, you guys are getting me this morning, I tell you. Yeah, you know, you sound different there, Adam.
I've done some vocal exercises and things that are a little different. I used to wear a Boston Bruins jersey when I played golf, but, you know, things have changed. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some of the leaderboards here. We have gone over the Arnold Palmer one, but quickly, Charlie Hoffman is the lead at 10 under Emiliano Grillo, 9 under Matthew Fitzpatrick at 8. Lucas Glover, Kevin Kisner, and Mark Leishman are at 7. Top Canadian is Adam Hadwin. He is tied for 10th, and also David Hearn is in there with a tie for 26th. He is at 1 under par.
How about Tony Finau is a guy I'm looking at this weekend. He's tied for 8th right now at 5 under, 67 yesterday. Last week he posted a good number late on Sunday. He's a guy... he has one win, and at some point he hits the ball too well not to win again. Again, with him, like the let used to be, it's his putter that's sort of holding him back. He's at the left hand low, but he hits the ball so solid that at some point he's going to get another win.
Tucson Conquistadores Classic. Freddie Couples has the lead. It's not Bernard Longer. That's good for a change. Tom Lehman and Jeff Maggart are at 7 under. And look at this, Mark Sacchino, who is tied for 4th. It's Stephen Ames. Maybe this will be the week he gets that win we've been talking about for so long.
Yeah, he's keep playing well out there, doesn't he, Bob? And there he is again. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, but Steve Stricker debuted this week out there on the Champions Tour. And he birdied the first three holes of his Champions Tour career. So not a bad start in your first event.
That would have been pretty cool if he just birdied every hole as a senior, as a Champions Tour player, right? That would be good.
I'm here.
Nobody would have been surprised if he had done that. He is such a good player. He will do well on that one, on that tour, I think. The LPGA Tour is also in Arizona there in Phoenix, and Arya Jatanagarn and Stacey Lewis are tied at 13 under par. There are four players, including Michelle Wee, a shot back of that. Brooke M. Henderson, as they refer to her on the LPGA Tour list, is at 8 under par. She's tied for 30th right now. And then you have to go down below the cut line, unfortunately, to find the rest of the Canadians. Motomi LeBlanc and Elena Sharp and Augusta James, who is making her debut on the LPGA Tour. Jennifer Ha all missed the cut. They have the weekend off. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Michelle Wee? Adam, do you think she's got some stuff to come back and be a force?
You know what? I think she's always hit the ball pretty well. Like you guys were talking about earlier, it was her putting. The tabletop putting just looked weird. And when you're putting like that, it's got to be so mental at that point to be on a 90-degree angle. Her back must have been in agony after doing that so much. But now it looks like she's, you know, more naturally, because she's naturally a very tall woman standing over the ball and putting. And she's always been one of the longer hitters on tour. So it's almost like Tony Finau. They're both very similar in that sense. They're both Nike athletes. And in that sense, I think she'll have it's great to see her play some good golf again. And eventually she's going to get back in the winner's circle.
Stacey Lewis is one who has to win. She's been on a bit of a dry spell. Arya Jatanagarn, though, is just a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how good some of these players can bet and how they can roll off wins on the LPGA Tour, Mark, as opposed to the LPGA Tour. Like, it's unusual for the top players not to have 4 or 5 victories.
Yeah, it seems that they come in handfuls, isn't it? It's bizarre. Hot potato sometimes with number one in the world as well. I don't know if that's going to continue. I don't know. We'll see. This year, Leo Ko, funny, not not having the start to the year that she wants. So we'll see if her struggles continue, but going to be a fun year. And how long are we going to wait before Brooke gets her first win, guys? Are we going to be to May? Or what, if I give you May 1st right now, over under Brooke Henderson's first win, do you take the under before May or the over May 1st?
I'll go. That's tough. I'd love to see her win. Her game, it looks to be in decent form right now, maybe not as it was last year, but as you know, all it takes is 1 week, right? So I'll take the slight over. I say sometime in May, but maybe not before May.
I'm gonna agree with that. I think she's got some new weapons in the bag, so I think it might be a little bit of adjustment period to that. And she's not geared up as much as she was early in the year, I think last year with the Olympics and everything going on. Mm-hmm. So maybe she's starting a little slower. I know she's not working quite as much with Tristan Mullally, her coach. She's working with her dad a little bit more. So I'm not quite sure yet exactly what to make of Brooke. But I think she will be in the winner's circuit. She's just too good not to be. Mm-hmm. The Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, had its first Q School down in Santee, California. Chris Gilman, former Web.com Tour player, won that one. There were, I think, around 40 players who ended up getting some status. Included in that, Eric Howarchuk is a Canadian. Daniel Kim, Canadian. Andrew Ledger, Canadian, were the ones who will get some kind of status on the tour this year. It's still a ways off. I think they've got like 32 Q schools or something before the season starts. But they'll get going in May out on the West Coast. Mark, I think you told me who you were with, walking with today. Give me that again.
Yeah, I've got Matthew Fitzpatrick. So I'm walking with a 155-pound 12-year-old boy that hits it 80 yards by me. So he'll be playing with Lucas Glover today. So I'll be in that group. It's the second to last today.
Good group.
If you get a chance, ask Lucas Glover if he remembers the time that he took me to the casino and we bet on roulette.
Wow.
That was on the drive from Calgary to Banff.
It was brilliant.
Wow.
There was one bet made. We stopped in for a we were driving from Calgary to Banff to do the Skins game. We had to take a bathroom break, so we went in there. The only place along that road was a casino, so we stopped in. Lucas Glover took donations. He put it all on red, and we all won. We made one bet, and we got the money, and went back in the car and kept driving.
That's how you spend time. That's amazing. That's quite a story.
I love it. Beat the casino like an ATM machine. That's the best way to...
We were undefeated in the casino, anyway.
That's amazing.
It was a fun day. All right, well, Mark, you have yourself a lovely day down there. It's the weather is warmer than it was when I was there, correct?
Yes, it's getting beautiful. It's going to be a great weekend. Should be a fun finish. And I will see you gentlemen in the studio for Golf Talk Canada Television this week.
Talk Canada TV will be get going this week on Wednesday, and we will start off with a little recap of the season so far, everything that you've missed that you haven't seen because we've been off the air. But we're also going to look ahead, and because we're only a couple of weeks away from the Masters now, that's getting exciting for the Masters, don't you think, Adam?
Oh, it's the best time of year. It's hopefully starting to get a little warmer here, and you know, it's that walk down Magnolia Lane when the goosebumps start happening, and it's the best week of the year.
All right. Golf Talk Canada on Wednesday. Golf Talk Radio back here next Saturday. Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks for Adam Scully and Mark. This is Bob Weeks saying so long, everybody. Hit it long and straight.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.